This week's parsha is Parshas Shaftim, and we will start chapter 17, verse number 18. But before we do that, we have to give a synopsis of what is going on in the parsha. This parsha deals with appointment of a king. The Torah tells you, come to the land of Israel and you will want a king, then you should put a king over you from amongst your brethren. And then the Torah tells you that you should not have too many horses, not have too many wives, and not have too much money. And then verse number 18 says, how it will be, keshiftoy al kisei mamlachtoy, that when he sits on his throne, the kosav loy es mishne ha-toyra zois, he should write this mishne ha-toyra. We're going to try to understand what that means, but normally it's translated the two copies of the Torah, al sefer on a book, mirefnei ha-kohanim alavim, from before the Kohanim, the Levites. And then the verse says, V'hoiso imoi, it will be with him, the kara voi kol yemei chayov, and he'll read in it all the days of his life, leman yilmat leyiras Hashem aleikav, in order that he should learn to fear Hashem his God, lishmor es kol divrei Torah azois, to safeguard all these words of Torah, v'sachukim o'ela, and these decrees, la'asoisom, in order to do them. The first question that we are going to address is why the verse says V'hoyo keshiftoy, it will be as he sits down. It should have said V'hoyo beshiftoy, it will be when he sits down, not as he sits down. This question becomes even stronger because of what's written in the Medrash in Esther. The Medrash Rabbah in Esther, Parsha Aleph, Siman Yud Aleph, asks this question in regards to Achashverosh, where there in Esther chapter 1, verse number 2, it says, "Bayomi Mahem, in those days, Keshevas Amelech Achashverosh al kisei mamlchusoy asher b'Shushan Habira," as soon as the king Achashverosh sat on his throne that is in Shushan, the capital, there it's written Keshevas as he sat down. The Medrash asks, why is it written Beshevas when he sat down? The Medrash answers that the sitting down of the nations of the world is not permanent, meaning that whenever the word Keshevas is written, it's a yeshiva ve'eno yeshiva. It's temporary sitting down, but it's not a permanent sitting down. It's something that is going to be temporary, and it so happens that as you sat down, you did this. But you can't say Beshevas that you are going to sit down and settle there, because the nations of the world do not settle permanently. But the Medrash continues, in regards to the Jewish people, it's written in Shoftim, Judges, chapter 11, Beshevas Yisrael Becheshboin uvenoiseo, when the Jewish people settled in Cheshboin and its neighboring. Therefore, there it's written Beshevas, because when the Jewish people settle, the Jewish people settle permanently, because they are permanently here. Therefore, it's written Beshevas, when they settle with a base. Then according to this, all the Mefarshim ask, how can we say here, in regards to a Jewish king, V'hoyu it will be, Keshiftoy, as he sits down, Al-Kisei Mamlachtoy, on his throne, if we are talking about a Jewish king, it should be written clearly, Beshiftoy, when he sits down, not as he sat down. Therefore, the Psukim Rabbeinu Avigdor brings down in Os Samachres that from here you learn that the king has got a special rule that as soon as he sits down on his throne, he is required already to start writing the two Sifre Torahs, the two books that's written in the verse. Meaning, normally you would have thought that only after a while, after he becomes renowned, after he becomes settled on his throne, that is when he should start writing the two Sifre Torahs, or maybe as long as he writes it while he is the king and while he's alive, that would be enough. Therefore, the Torah wants to emphasize that you should not delay in writing these Sifre Torahs. The Torah writes down Keshiftoy, as soon as he sits down on his throne, he is required ready to start writing the Torahs. True, normally, you would have written by a king of the Jews, Beshiftoy, because his settling is going to be permanent. But if he writes down Beshiftoy, Judah thought that he could ride it at any time that he wants, as long as he is still the king, he could ride the Sefer Torah. Therefore, the Torah emphasizes here that a king has to write down Keshivtoi as soon as he sits down on the throne. It's incumbent on him, the mitzvah, to write the Sefer Torah, and therefore he should not delay. Sefer Tiferes Yonason interprets that medrash differently, and interprets that medrash by saying that the nations of the world, when they settle, they don't settle permanently. It means to say that the king Ahasuerus, even though he had now a huge kingdom, still he wanted always to get more and more. Therefore, since he doesn't want to be settled by just this kingdom, he's treating Kesheves as the king was sitting, because he's not going to be permanently there, because Ahasuerus wanted always to conquer more places. Therefore, their settling is not a permanent settling, because they're not going to just want this place, they want other places. But the Jewish people are satisfied with what they had. Therefore, by the Jewish people, when they conquer the places, it's written Beshevas, because they wanted to stay there permanently, and therefore it's written that they staying there permanently. But in regards to a king, Hashem wants this king always to try to excel to a higher level. Hashem does not want this king to be stagnant and stationary and decide that this is enough where he got. Therefore, the Torah tells you, Keshivtoi, as he sits down on the throne, he should write a Sefer Torah, because by him learning the Torah that he writes, automatically he learned to fear Hashem, then automatically he won't be stationary in his spiritual level, he'll be able to keep moving up. Therefore, his settling on the throne, it's not going to be always in that level, he's always going to settle on the throne in a higher level. Therefore, it's written Keshivtoi, because the Torah wants to make sure that he knows that he shouldn't be stationary on the level that he came in, that if he comes in one level of spirituality, one level of fear of Hashem, one level of knowledge of Hashem, then he has to make sure that he gets to a higher level, and therefore he's written Keshivtoi, Al Kise Mamlachtoi, as he sits down on his throne, he should write the Sefer Torah, and learn from that, automatically he will be in a different level, therefore it's only a temporary level. The Chibin Arov says that he heard from a Chacham Echad, that heard from the Minchas Chinuch, that the reason that's written here, Keshivtoi, as he sits down, is because normally, when a king becomes a king, as soon as he comes in, he is humble. But the more time goes by, he becomes haughty, and he starts subjugating the people, and the people start not liking him anymore. Therefore, the Torah tells you that if you are going to learn the Torah and you are going to behave like the Torah, then always, all the days that he is a king, is going to be Keshivtoi, is going to be as he went in. Because then he'll be humble, because the Torah has the quality to make the person humble. Automatically, if he's humble, he'll be like he just came in. He'll be Keshivtoi Al Kise Mamlachtoi, as he just came in to the throne, then he'll be humble, the people will like him, therefore it's written here the words Keshivtoi, as he just came in, and not Beshivtoi, not when he came in. Because when he comes in and he stays there a while, people tend not to like him because he tends to become haughty, but if he acts like Keshivtoi, like he just came in, then he's humble, and then the people will like him. The Imre Emes wants to answer this based on the Yerushalmi Bikurim Peregimel Alocha Gimel. There the Yerushalmi brings down that a Chacham, somebody who is wise and he becomes appointed to a higher position, and also a Nasi, somebody who becomes appointed as a king, Hashem forgives all his sins. And in regards to somebody who's being appointed as a king, they bring the verse that's written in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 13, verse number 1, where it says, Ben Shana Shaul Bemolchoi, that Shaul HaMelech was 1 year old when he became king, and the Gemara asks, V'chi Ben Shana, how can you say that he was 1 year old. Obviously, it can't mean that he became a king and ruled when he was 1 year old. Therefore, the Gemara answers, Elo shenim chaloi kol avonoisav ketinok ben shana, that Hashem forgave all the sins of Shaul HaMelech because he was appointed king as a child of 1 year old. Meaning, in the same way that a 1 year old child cannot be guilty for what he does, so too, when Shaul HaMelech became appointed king, Hashem forgave all his sins. And the Yerushalmi says that it is not only Shaul HaMelech that was forgiven, but anybody who is appointed as a king, he gets to a higher level, then Hashem forgives all his sins. Therefore, says the Imre Emes, that the Torah wants to emphasize that the king, even when he's there a longer time, always has to act keshiftoi as he just came in the same way that when he just comes in, he has no sin. So too, when he's there a longer time, through the learning of Torah, he'll be keshiftoi, he'll be like when he came in, without a sin. Therefore, it's written keshiftoi, because he has to remember the day that he came into the throne, the day that he became a king, where all his sins were forgiven. He has to act like that while he's king. That should always be keshiftoi, that he should always make sure that he has no sins. Going back to the verse says, V'hoy it will be keshiftoi al kisem amlachtoi, as he sits down on his throne. V'kosav loy es mishnah toira azoiz, he should write this double Torah, al sefer, on a book, melifnei kohanim valvim, from in front of the kohanim, the Levites. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis 21b, brings in the name of Rava, that every Jew is required to write a Sefer Torah, even though his parents left him a Torah, because it's written in the verse, in Dvarim chapter 31, verse number 19, V'ato enau kisvolochem es ashiro azois, write this song, which means to say write the Torah. Therefore, every Jew has a requirement to write the Torah. The Gemara asks a question that it's written in the Mishnah previously, as it's written in our Pasuk, that a king is required to write a Sefer Torah. Then the question is, why do you say that a king is supposed to write a Sefer Torah, which implies that because he achieved the status of a king, he's required to write a Sefer Torah? When Rava writes that every Jew is required to write a Sefer Torah, even though he has a Sefer Torah from his father. The Gemara answers, based on this pasuk, on this parsha that says, V'kosav lo yes mishne ha-Torah, that he has to write this double Torah, the Gemara says, Koisev lishmoi shtei toiros, that he writes for him two toiros. Achas sheyoytzos v'nechnesas imoy, one that he goes in and out with it, V'achas, and one, Shemenachas loy beveiz genozov, that it stays in his treasury. And the Gemara later on explains that oiso sheyotzov v'nechnesas imoy, that the one that goes out and in with him, meaning the one that he takes with him, oiso kamin kemeya, he makes it a sort of amulet. Mirasha writes down that you write small so it will fit in a small space. The toile bizroyo, and he hangs it on his arm. And the Gemara says that this is what it means in the verse in Tehillim, chapter 16, verse number 8, where it says, Shivisi Hashem l'nagdi summit, I have set Hashem before me always, kimimini bal emoit, that because from my right hand it will not falter. Meaning, according to the Gemara, that David HaMelech is implying that Hashem is always with him literally, since he places the Torah in his right hand, and his right hand is always with him, automatically Hashem is always with him. Meaning, according to the simple answer of the Gemara, it means to say the following. A regular person has to write one Sefer Torah, but a king has to write two Sefer Torahs. Before we continue, I have seen beautiful interpretations in regards to why a king is required to have two Torahs. First, we are going to bring the Tiferes Yonason, which the Tiferes Yonason writes down that one of the Torahs represents the Torah Shebechsav, the written law, and one of the Sefer Torahs represents the Torah Shebaalpeh, the oral law, meaning that the king has to believe in both Torahs. That's why he has to write down two Torahs. Or he explains that since there is two parts of the Torah, there is the revealed part of the Torah and there is the hidden part of the Torah, Chelek HaNigla veChelek HaNistar, therefore the king has to write two Sefer Torahs for him to know that it is not only what is written that you have to know also the hidden parts of the Torah. Sefer Ben Yoyada explains that the two Torah represents the learning and the action, meaning that if you would have only one Sefer Torah, I would have thought that you just have to learn, but you don't have to act accordingly. Or if you had only one Torah, I would have thought that you have to act according to the Torah, but you don't have to learn. Therefore, the king is required to have two Sefer Torahs. Like that, he'll remember that he has to learn and act according to the Torah. The Ksav Sofer gives an interesting interpretation. The Ksav Sofer notes that one Torah goes in and out with him, and one Torah stays home in his treasury, which means it stays hidden. Therefore, the Ksav Sofer explains that it is referring to two ways that a person has to behave, meaning that a person at home in his treasury has to make sure that he does all the chumras, all the stringencies, that he follows all the particular and details of every single mitzvah. But when the king is going outside and he makes rulings outside, those stringencies he should not impose on the people. When he is dealing with the people, the Torah that goes in and out with him should be a different Torah. He should rule to the people, lifnim mishuras adin, above the letter of the law, should deal with people benachas, with ease, and he should be straight with them, and he should not impose his stringencies over the people. Therefore, the Torah tells you that the king is required to have two Sifre Torahs, one in his treasure, one that he behaves at home, and another one outside, and another Sefer Torah that he behaves towards the people. It is interesting that Sefer Shar HaRachamim from Pinchas Sholem Polak brings down the opposite idea. He brings down from the Gemara in Shabbos Dav Nun Dalet Omed Beis 54b, where the Gemara there writes down that Parosoi Sherablozi Ben Azaria, that the cow of Rablozi Ben Azaria used to go out with a Retzua Sheben Karneo, with a strap between her horns on Shabbos against the will of the rabbis, because the rabbis believed that this strap is a burden and therefore the animal is carrying, where Rabbi Loza Ben Azaria believed that this is an adornment. So therefore the Gemara says that the cow of Rabbi Loza Ben Azaria used to go out of the strap against the will of the rabbis. The Gemara asks the question, did Rabbi Loza Ben Azaria only have one cow? We learned that every year Rabbi Loza Ben Azaria gave tithe from his animals 12,000 calves. That means that he had many more than one cow. The Gemara answers that in truth, it wasn't Rabbi Loza Ben Azaria's cow that went out with the strap. It was the cow of the neighbor of Rabbi Loza Ben Azaria that went out with the strap. But since Rabbi Loza Ben Azaria did not protest, then it's considered as his cow went out with the straps between the horns. Therefore, the Gemara says that anybody who could protest and doesn't protest, it is considered as he would have done it. Meaning that since Rabbi Loza Ben Azaria could have blocked his neighbor from letting her cow go out with the strap and he didn't, therefore it's considered as he would have done it. According to this, Sefer Sharem Rachmim explains that a king now has greater responsibility, and because his greater responsibility, he is required to protest more on people. Meaning that since now he is in charge of the whole country, and if he lets people do something wrong, then it's tantamount as he did it. Therefore, a king has to have a separate Sefer Torah when he goes out, because when he goes out, he has to act more stringently, where he's required to protest anything that people are doing wrong. Because if he does not protest now, it is considered as he would have done that thing wrong. Therefore, he says that the king now has to have a second Sefer Torah, one Sefer Torah that goes in and out with him, where that Sefer Torah has to be more stringent, because now he's required to protest more things where before he wasn't required to protest as much, because if you have no influence over the people, then you cannot protest against them, then you are not guilty if they do something wrong. But now, since you are the king and you have the power to protest more things, therefore you have to be more stringent and you have to protest when you see anybody doing something wrong. Therefore, the Torah that goes out is different than the Torah that was at home. I wanted to answer based on the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Omed Beis, where there the Gemara brings down the name of Tanu Rabbanon in the name of the rabbis, that Hashem told the Jewish people, Barasi Yetzer Hara, I created the evil inclination, Uvarasi Li Torah Tavrin, and I created the Torah as a spice. Imatem Oiskim Batoira, Inatem Insorim Beyadoi. If you learn Torah, you are not given over to the hand of the evil inclination. Which means that a person normally has an evil inclination, but if he learns Torah, the Torah counteracts his evil inclination. There is also a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis, where the Gemara brings down from the name of a certain elder that Kol HaGadol Mechaveroi, whoever is greater than his fellow, than Yitzroi Gadol Imenu, than his evil inclination is greater than his fellow as well. Meaning that if you are on a higher level, then your evil inclination is even stronger. Therefore, in order for this king to know that now he is in a high level, since he is in a high level, obviously his evil inclination is now getting stronger. Therefore, the Torah specifically told this king that he is required to make a second Sefer Torah, because now he is required to have the protection, the spice of the Torah more than before. Meaning that since a regular person has an evil inclination and then the Torah is a spice, and now that this person became a king, now this person has got a stronger evil inclination, because the person who is greater than a fellow has a greater evil inclination. Therefore the Torah says that he shouldn't forget that he has to now deal with the spice, learn the Torah more. Therefore the Torah says that he has to write a second Sefer Torah. He should learn from that to fear Hashem, and that will help against his evil inclination. So the Torah specifically said that a person who becomes a king has to write a second Sefer Torah in order to remind him that he now needs a separate dose of the spice in order to counteract the evil inclination. Because since he's now greater than anybody else, his evil inclination is now greater than anybody else, therefore he's required to have more of the spice. Therefore the Torah told him that he has to write down a second Sefer Torah in order to remind him of this fact. Sefer Chamude Tzvi, Rab Hirsch Yoel, which was Rosh Yeshiva from Varsha, explains also in the same idea of the Ksav Sofer, but he gives a different idea behind the two ways to behave. And he explains this based on the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kuv Gimel Amad Beis 103b, where there the Gemara says that when Rabbi was dying, he called his son Rab Gamliel, Umasar Loi Sider Nesiois, and he gave over to Rab Gamliel the protocol of being a Nasi, of being a prince, Amaloi. And he told him, Bni, my son, Nehoik Nesiascha Beramin, make sure you conduct your Nesiois in an exalted way. Zeroik Mara Betalmidim, cast fear upon your students, meaning that they should be in awe of you. And the reason is that if you want to become an effective leader, you have to show that you are the boss, and you have to put fear on the students so they won't go up against you. They won't contradict you. They'll have respect of you. Because if you don't put fear in them, then eventually somebody will come that will try to rule the other way and overthrow you. Therefore also, when a king goes out in front of the people, he has to act in the same way that Rabbi told Rav Gamliel to act. He has to act with an upright head, meaning that he has to be in an exalted way, and he has to put fear on the people. Because if he doesn't put fear on the people, eventually they will rebel against him and overthrow him. But there is always a danger that if he acts like that in public, eventually he is going to come act that way, not because he needs it for this position, but because he believes that he is an exalted person and he's above everybody else. Therefore, the Torah tells you that he's required to have two Sefer Torahs. One Sefer Torah that he goes out and acts towards the people, that is the Sefer Torah that shows fear and a little bit of haughtiness in order for him to show that he is the king and people should respect him. But inside, the one that he has in his treasure, that Sefer Torah has to be full of humbleness, full of anivus, and to make sure that he knows that he is nothing. So he's required to have two different Sefer Torahs, one that is at home, the one that is inside his house, where he acts humbly, where he is not haughty and does not put fear, but another Sefer Torah that he acts towards the people, where that one has to be, like Rabbi told his son, Rav Gamliel, that he has to act in an exalted way and put fear in the people in order for him to be able to rule the proper way. The other answer is brought down by Sefer Pesach Oel from Rabbi Foa Brum, which is Rosh Hashiv in Kasho, where he uses the verse in Parshas Vayeshev, Bereshis chapter 37, verse number 3, where there it says, Ve'Yisrael ohev es Yosef mikol banav, Israel, Yaakov, loved Yosef more than all his children, kiven zekunim eloi, because he's a son born to him at his old age. And the question is that since we know that the difference between the brothers was no more than 7 years, because during 7 years all the children besides Binyamin were born, then what does it mean that he loves Yosef more because he's the child of an old age? There isn't much difference between all the children. Then why does he love Yosef more? And besides the point, Binyamin was the youngest one, then he should have loved Binyamin. Therefore, Rashi brings a second answer. Rashi says from the Targum Unculus that Kibar Hakim Hulei, that he was a wise child, meaning that Yaakov loved Yosef because Yosef was a very wise child. And Rashi continues and says that the whole Torah that he learned in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, he gave over to Yosef. Normally, that is meant to be that the Torah that Yaakov learned after Yaakov switched over the place from Esav, and Rivka finds out that Esav wants to kill Yaakov. Therefore, Yaakov has to run away. And Yitzchok and Rivka tell Yaakov to run to Lavan and get married. But before Yaakov goes to the house of Lavan, Rashi brings down that Yaakov was hiding in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever for 14 years before he went to the house of Lavan. And this is the Torah that Yaakov Avinu gave to Yosef. And Mefarshim ask a very strong question. Number one, Mefarshim ask, we know that Yaakov Avinu learned Torah the whole time. In regards to Yaakov Avinu, it's written in Bereshis chapter 25, verse number 27, that the children grew up and Esav became a person who knows how to hunt, a person of the field. The Yaakov Ishtam, and Yaakov was a wholesome person. Yoishev Oholim, he was dwelling in tents, and Rashi brings down that he was dwelling in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. And the strongest question that Mefarshim ask, it is that it is very hard to understand what Yaakov is doing. First of all, his mother and father tell them to go to Lavan and get married. And Yaakov at this age is already 63 years old. Yaakov has been learning in yeshiva for so long and he has no children yet. And when they tell him to go to Lavan and get married, Yaakov decides now to sit another 14 years in yeshiva. Why didn't he go straight to the house of Lavan, get married, and then go sit in yeshiva? Why did it feel necessary that he has to sit in yeshiva for 14 years before he goes to the house of Lavan? And Mefarshim answer that Yaakov realized that the way he learns Torah in the house of his father during the first 63 years of his life is not going to be the same way that he's going to have to learn Torah in the house of Lavan. In his house, he has the influence of his father. He has the example of his father. He is surrounded by people who do mitzvahs. He is surrounded by holiness. He has modesty around him. Therefore, the way to learn Torah, the way to avoid temptations is much easier than when you are in a house of Lavan, where it's full of idolatry. Probably people were not dressed modest. Probably they didn't have good values. Therefore, he knew that if he goes to the house of Lavan, he's got to learn the Torah in a different way. And this is what he learned during the 14 years, how to be able to overcome the temptations that are chutzlaretz, that are outside of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Yaakov had an inkling that Yosef is going to need the Torah, as in fact, eventually he ended up needing, because Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim, which is a place full of immorality. Yaakov, even though he didn't know for sure, but he had an inkling that he should transfer the Torah that he learned in the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever during those 14 years to Yosef, because he felt that Yosef is going to need it. That is what Yaakov taught Yosef. According to this, says Sefer Pesach Oil, that this is the same thing that happens with a king. The king, while he's a simple man, he's learning Torah inside, and his temptations inside is completely different than the temptations that he's going to have when he becomes a king. When he becomes a king now, he's going to have to deal with people which don't have the same moral values as he has. He's going to have to see and be in places that he doesn't want to be, but as a king, he's required to go. Therefore, the king has to know that he has to learn now the Torah in a completely fresh way. He has to know how to deal with people that are heretics. He has to know how to deal with people that are abusers. He has to know how to withstand temptation and know how to answer for those people who doubt the Torah. Where he was in his home environment, he didn't have to know all these things. Therefore, to emphasize this point, the Torah tells that this king has to write now a second Sefer Torah, because he has to know now that the temptations that he's going to have while he is a king outside is not going to be the same Sefer Torah he has in his treasure, in his hidden house. Because at home, he has one way of learning, one way of behaving, one way to overcoming his evil inclination. But when he goes outside, he's going to need a completely fresh way to be able to interact with people and to be able to withstand their influences. Therefore, the Torah tells you that he has to write a separate Sefer Torah in order for him to remember that the way that he behaved inside and temptations he had inside are not going to be the same, and he has to relearn and reevaluate and rethink how to deal with the people outside. Going back to the Gemara reconciled the difference between a regular person that is required to write a Sefer Torah and a king, that the king is required to write two Sefer Torahs. Whereas a regular person, even though the parents left them a Sefer Torah, is required to only write one Sefer Torah. The Rambam writes Lalacha that if the king received a Torah from his forefather, he only has to write one Sefer Torah, which is the same law as a regular person. Mefarshim asked, then what is the difference between a regular person and a king? The Rambam himself writes down that if the parents of the king did not leave him a Torah, then he is required to write two Sefer Torahs. But if they left him a Torah, then the king is the same status as a regular person, that he is required to write one Sefer Torah. But one thing that the Rambam omits from his halacha is the fact that the second Sefer Torah, he makes it as small as a kameya, as an amulet, and he hangs it up on his arm. The fact that the Sefer Torah goes out with him, that the Rambam writes down. As a matter of fact, the Rambam writes down that the only time that he doesn't have the Sefer Torah is where you can't read the Sefer Torah. For example, when you go to the bathroom, when you go to the bathhouse, where you're not allowed to read. But anywhere else that the king goes, he's required to take that Sefer Torah. But the Rambam doesn't write down that he hangs that Sefer Torah on his arm, or he makes that Sefer Torah as a kameya, an amulet. Therefore, all the Noisekelem or Rambam, all the commentaries of the Rambam, want to know why did the Rambam omit this halacha. The Halacha Mishnah answers this question by saying that the Rambam saw the Gemara, and the Rambam realized that the Gemara is not literal, meaning that you don't actually hang it up on his arm. But the Gemara means to say that everywhere the king goes, the Sefer Torah has to be with him. Therefore, it's tantamount as it would be hanging on his arm all the time. But you don't make it as a kameya, so small as an amulet, and hang it up on his arm. The Ragechover says that the Rambam realized that this that is written, you make a kameya, cannot mean literally because of a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Omed Beis. There the Gemara discusses the death of David HaMelech, that David HaMelech was told that he's going to die on Shabbos. Therefore, he was learning Torah the whole time, so the angel of death could not take him. It came the week that he was supposed to die, and the angel of death could not take him because he wouldn't stop learning. Therefore, the angel of death shook some trees outside, made some noise. David HaMelech went to investigate. Even while he was going to investigate, he was still learning. And the angel of death removed one of the steps. David HaMelech stumbled on the steps momentarily. He stopped learning. Then the angel of death was able to take him and he died. The Gemara there continues that Shlomo HaMelech sent a question to the rabbis saying that my father is dead and is laying in the sun and the dogs of my father's house are hungry. Meaning, according to the simple interpretation, Shlomo HaMelech asked, number one, once a person dies, a person becomes muktzah. You're not allowed to benefit from him, therefore you can't move him. And my father is laying the sun. And besides that, my father always gave leftovers of his banquet to the dogs. But now that my father is dead, there is no banquet. The dogs are going to be hungry. What can I feed them? The Gemara says that the rabbis answered to Shlomo HaMelech that cut up a dead animal and feed the dogs. As for your father, you should put a child or a piece of bread on top of your father. Then you'll be able to carry him, because then you're not carrying only the prohibited thing, you're carrying the prohibited and the permitted thing together, which is allowed in this case. And as a matter of fact, this is the halacha that's brought down in Rachaim, Simen Shin Yud Aleph, halacha Aleph, that if a dead person is in a place where you're afraid for him, then you should put a child or a piece of bread and you'll be able to carry the dead person because of the child and the piece of bread. The Mordechai brings in the name of Rav Avigdor Cohen Tzedek, that this, that you're not allowed to move a dead person, is only when the dead person dies naked. But when the dead person dies with his clothes, then there is no necessity to put a child or a piece of bread on top of that person. You could carry the dead person because of his clothes. Since the clothes of that person are not muktzah, you're allowed to benefit from these clothes. Therefore, you could carry the dead person as long as he's wearing his clothes. And there is no necessity to put a child or a piece of bread on top of that person. The Taz of the Mogen Avraham asked a question on this Mordechai that the Gemara seems to contradict this. Because since we know that David HaMelech was learning Torah when he died, obviously he was not naked, because you're not allowed to learn Torah when you're naked. And still, when Shlomo HaMelech asked this question, they wouldn't let him move David HaMelech unless he puts a child or a piece of bread on top of him. Why do you need that, since David HaMelech had his clothes on when he died? The Taz answers in the name of Chochem Echad that since we have a halacha that Rambam brings down that the clothing of a king you require to burn, meaning that nobody is allowed to benefit from the clothing of a king, therefore, even though David HaMelech had his clothing on, his clothing was still considered muktzah because nobody could benefit from his clothing. Therefore, the clothing in this case would not give him a right to move. When a regular person dies, since you could benefit from the regular person's clothing, you're allowed to move the person because of the clothing. But when a king dies, since you're required to burn the clothing of the king, therefore the clothing of the king is not allowed to be benefited from, the clothing become muktzah, and the dead body is muktzah. Therefore there is no choice now only to put a child or a piece of bread on top of the person who died. Like that, you'll be able to move them. The Ragechover asks that it is very good that we answer the question that the king should have been be able to be moved because of the clothing. But our Gemara writes down that the king has two Sefer Torahs, and one Sefer Torah goes out with him and he makes it like an amulet and he hangs it up on his arm. Obviously, David HaMelech was carrying also that Sefer Torah. Then how is it possible that we shouldn't be able to move him? True that we can't move him because of his clothing and because he himself is dead, but we should be able to move him because he's holding a Sefer Torah, and clearly that Sefer Torah could be benefited from. Therefore, the Rogatchover says that the Rambam obviously saw this Gemara and asked this question: why did the Rabbi tell Shlomo HaMelech to put a child or a piece of bread on top of David HaMelech, when they could have just told him to move him because he's carrying a Sefer Torah? From here, the Rambam deduced that this Gemara clearly holds that David HaMelech did not make the Sefer Torah into an amulet and carry it on his arm permanently, because otherwise they would be able to move him after his death because of Sefer Torah. Therefore, the Rambam has to interpret that when the Gemara says there that you make it like an amulet and hang it on your arm, is a metaphoric way to say that you should always have the Sefer Torah in your heart, but it's not meant in a literal way that you should make it like an amulet and hang it in your arm literally. Going back to this idea that you're required to have two Sefer Torahs, one in the inside and one in the outside, Sefer Mayonis Hanetzach explains that this is referring how a person has to behave, that he should be golden in the inside and gold in the outside. A person has to behave properly in the inside his house, as he shows to behave properly outside, meaning that toichoi, his inside, has to be kebaroi, as he shows outside. And since the Gemara writes down in Shabbos Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph 67a that kol Yisrael bnei melachim hen, that all the Jewish people are sons of kings, meaning they all princes, that means that we all should behave like kings. Therefore, we should all make sure that we have this idea of the two Sefer Torahs, that we behave properly inside as we behave outside, and we behave outside as properly as we behave inside. And Hashem Yisburach should help that if we do that, then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, Memheira Bayomeinu Amen.